Let them eat cake with me, Lady Red Velvet. Oh, today she is a lady rather than a beast. Oh, my dears. Oh, my dears. It's me, Mrs. Doubtfire. I'm starting like that because I went to see Mrs. Doubtfire, the musical, last weekend with my friend Phil. And, oh my goodness, it was fabulous. It was so good. The lead actor just hit the nail on the head with his performance. It was pure Mrs. Doubtfire, but at the same time, he embraced the spirit of the wonderful and dearly missed Robin Williams with all of his impressions. It was just fabulous. I've downloaded the soundtrack. I'm going to listen to it again. I'm going to plan a Mrs. Doubtfire show. I'm not quite sure how I'll do it because the mask they used for Mrs. Doubtfire to put it on and off really quickly was amazing. It looked so effective. I don't know how they did that. So if you pop to London and you want to see a new musical, I suggest book for Mrs. Doubtfire. We had some tickets in the stalls. £80, not too bad, not too bad at all. We had a little drink in between. And yes, it's well worth a visit. But today's podcast is not about musicals, even though, ooh, that could be a good theme, couldn't it? Maybe that'll be coming soon. Lady Red Velvet's top musicals. Yes, I can see it now. But no, this is just the prelude because that was the warm-up for this past weekend's main event, which was RuPaul's Drag Con in London. And I'm taking a pause there because, wow, it was just incredible. It was incredible. So, my dears, oh, my dears, I've gone back to Mrs. Doubtfire. Today's podcast is all about the incredible, the unbelievable, the uniqueness, nerve and talent and charisma of RuPaul's Drag Con. And I'm going to explain all about it because it was a pretty epic weekend. So, I think the one in London has been running for about 3 years now. I think this is the third or fourth. And last year, I really wanted to go, but it fell on King's Day weekend here in Spain. And we had already got plans to meet up with my husband's family and with friends. So it was just impossible. But this year, it's the second weekend in January, which was perfect. So it left enough of a time between Christmas, New Year and to fly back to the UK again. So I made plans. I did invite my husband, but I think he was a bit dragged out of coming along to so many drag events. So I thought, I know the person. And it's my best buddy from the UK, Phil. We both met each other doing amateur dramatics. So we've known each other a good 20 years now. And I remember it was, I think it was Murder on the Nile, and he was the prompt because we'd already started the casting process. We went on to star in many amateur production together, but that first one, I remember he was the prompt, and we just became really good friends. And he's always one of those people that would just be up for anything. So I knew straight away, yeah, let's get Phil involved. And he was just wanting to do it. So, as I say, we met up in London. We had a gorgeous little apartment for the weekend. Thank you to Phil's husband, Mark, for organising for us. And on the first night, yes, we had a little bit of a treat and went to the theatre. And then on the Saturday, here comes the main event. So, I said to Phil, okay, our entrance ticket was starting at 10. The actual ribbon cutting is at 8:30 in the morning. those poor drag queens. So I was talking to my gorgeous friend, reigning queen of Drag Race España, Petita, who said she had to get up about 5 a.m. to do all of her makeup because, of course, she had to be there for the ribbon cutting. I myself thought, I'm not sure I could be there at 8:30, be all day in heels and drag, because, of course, it was Lady Red Velvet attending, not Richard. So I decided to get the ticket for the 10 o'clock. And actually, in the end, gorgeous Petita gave us a little weekend pass, which was fabulous and very useful. So thank you, darling. Anyway, so I decided to get up. Phil was still resting in bed. I did all my makeup. Luckily, I had a very good mirror in the apartment. I decided to go with a very wise choice on the outfit. Not only did it look amazing, but it was comfortable. And for me these days, I'm kind of sensible in what I do if I know I'm going to be in drag for a long time. So number one were the shoes, and I thought, I can't wear my normal gorgy heels, and I do have a lot of gorgeous heels, because I thought I'm just going to be in pain. And if you have to take your heels off and put on trainers with an outfit, it just looks a bit rubbish, and I didn't want that. So I've got this fabulous pair of little silver boots that have got a bit of a chunky heel, and they look great, but at the same time, I can wear them all day. So that was a bit of a starting point. Then I thought, okay, well, if I'm silver, I know. The perfect outfit is my gorgeous making the cut jacket dress. So it's this beautiful, gorgeous jacket, but also it looks like a jacket dress, is that what it's called? Can't remember what they're called these days. Which I wore to the Iconica party that I attended last November. And I thought, well, I'm going to go full Miranda Priestley then. So I have a wonderful little Miranda Priestley wig. I thought I'll have my runway magazine with printed on it. Visit ladyredvelvet.com on her Instagram to get a few new followers. And it was perfect because also London was freezing. It was so cold. So I thought, okay, well, this is a great outfit. It will keep me warm. It can be opened up. And I had a little gold sequin gown underneath just in case I needed to take the jacket off, but I didn't really. And the boots worked. So number one, tick. The outfit was a huge success. So many people coming up and saying, oh my goodness, you look so elegant, so classy. And actually, as well as being drag, it is actually a woman's jacket. So a lot of people, I think, could see themselves, oh, I'd like to wear that. And on the metro, I had people were complimenting me. We went for some food and this group of older ladies came over and they were like, oh my goodness, you look so nice, so elegant. Which is nice because Lady Red Velvet, as you know, if you follow her, isn't always the most elegant. She can be a bit trashy. She has costumes every week, something different every week. But normally it fits in with the character. And even though I was dressed as Miranda Priestley, this time, of course, well, she is fashion, isn't she? So it was very nice to wear something very beautiful, very elegant, very classy. And it made me feel that way as well. So anyway, jacket, dress, shoes, all on, makeup looking great. We filmed a few little videos in our apartment because it was gorgeous. You can see that on my Instagram, lady.red.velvet. So getting there. Well, at one point we're going to get an Uber, but London is so expensive with everything. Already we'd gone out the night before and had a few drinks and spent a small fortune on drinks. We'd done the theatre ticket, train tickets, plane tickets. So I was like, it's fine. There's the DLR. Let's get on that. I said, other people will be dressed up. It's fine. So we walked to the station. Again, my lovely jacket dress was kept me warm. And on our way, we met people. People were looking and smiling, which is really nice. And people making heart shapes as they saw the outfit. So I knew it was going to be a hit. we got on the DLR, which is like a kind of a metro overground railway. And anyway, while we were on there, we started chatting. We met this gorgeous lesbian couple. We're chatting to them. There were a Spanish guy and girl who didn't speak much English, so I was translating a little bit because they wanted to know all about it, and I was telling them. And then there was a mother and a daughter. And this is what's amazing about DragCon. It just brings out all kinds of different people, which is what drag should be about. Should be about appealing to everyone. Everyone. RuPaul won the Emmy this week for Best TV Show. And he talked about drag story time and saying how, yes, if you want a drag queen to read a story to you, let them. Drag can be for everyone, from children to adults, older people, men, women, every single member of the LGBT community and beyond. So it was just lovely, and we were this little band on the DLR, when suddenly, as we were going, I kind of thought, I don't remember this the day before when I came to meet Petita to pick up our tickets. And I should have probably said something, shouldn't I? Because then suddenly we stopped and they said, Olaf! And I was a bit like, oh, this is not the Excel Centre. And anyway, we'd got on one of them that leads that direction, but it had obviously been the wrong train, tram, whatever you call it, and it had gone off. So there we were, our little group of merry drag supporters. Off we get. Luckily met someone nice who said, no, you've got to go back and change at this other stop. So there we went, all the way back again. Time ticking down a bit because the big drag walkway, the catwalk on the famous pink carpet, was at 10:30, and it was already about 10:20, and we were feeling a bit nervous. Anyway, got to this stop, about to get on the next tram to go to the correct bit of the route, when they told us, oh, sorry, no, today it's a bus replacement service. Well, you can imagine our faces. Anyway, didn't deter us. Off we go. So Miranda Priestly, Lady Red Velvet, leading the way, holding up a magazine, as we had our lovely lesbian couple, our mother and daughter, our two Spanish friends, and then along the way we were joined by two lovely ladies as well. So off we were there, and Phil, of course, in check as well, carrying all the stuff in the bag. That's what every drag queen needs, is somebody to hold their bag or their items. Very useful. Thank you, Phil. Anyway, we got on the bus, so here we are, Lady Red Velvet, looking gorgeous on public transport. Not something I think Miranda Priestly would do, but we got some great photos as well, little videos as well. All part of the fun. Thank goodness we got there just in time. And then there was the queue. Oof, it was a long queue. But luckily, thank you, Petita, again, our little wristbands meant that we could skip the queue. We said goodbye to our friends who had the queue. Luckily, it went super fast because DragCon was so well organized. So just, you could see that people knew what they were doing, knew how to do it, and were there to help people and get people enjoying the day. So I don't think they had to wait long. But I have to say, it was glorious walking past this massive queue and just floating in there, waltzing in. That was pretty fabulous. So in we went, just in time for the big pink carpet catwalk. We were just on time. Found a little niche spot. We like squeezed in. People were standing on chairs. People were looking. Lots of people there from 8:30. So they, of course, they had the good spots. And I don't resent that at all, because, of course, they've been there almost 2 hours earlier. Anyway, we got to see just, they did it by country. The UK queens, the Belgium queens, the German queens, the French queens, the Spanish queens, who I must say, I know a lot of them. They looked fantastic. They looked so good. Canadian queens, the Thai queens. Oh my goodness, it goes on and on. The Down Under queens. if I missed anyone. And then finally, the RuPaul American Queens. And there was just so much beauty, elegance, but also creativity. One of the Belgium queens, and I'm sorry, I don't know her name, had this like lavender, it looked like a bit of an octopus outfit with these balloons. And anyone who knows me, I love a balloon in an outfit. I've done balloons and stockings in my head quite a few years ago and made this amazing alien outfit where actually for carnival, I want a cruise. I want a trip on a cruise because my outfit was so good. Well, this outfit was like 100 times the balloons I had. And it was just fabulous. That was one. Charity Case had this amazing, she was under this table with her head looking like a pig on a plate and had this chef walking down, but the chef had no head on and it was just incredible. So it's pushed along this table. You had people looking so beautiful, so stunning, creative outfits. My top list would be difficult to say. Of course, my friend Petita looked stunning, and her gorgeous boyfriend made her outfit for her, which was just fabulous. Arnel, congratulations. It was just beautiful. Lovely choice of fabric, lovely shape, just had that impact. And of course, Petita carries it off so well. But there were so many that were so good. Envy Peru, who I know looked stunning in black, really against the pink, was magnificent. There were outfits that were absolutely huge and beautiful. There were ones that were more defined and more restrained, but with stunning detail. There were things that made you smile. We had, I can't remember all the names now. This is the thing, I remember that year last year when RuPaul cut the ribbon and he couldn't remember the name of Jinx Monsoon, who had just won the Queen of the Queens. So Ru, I can sympathise, because there were ones going, walking down and I was like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And you recognise people, then you have to try and place, because there's maybe 150 performers. Anyway, the Spanish drag queens all looked absolutely fabulous, gorgeous outfits, lots of energy. You could see everyone just having the time of their lives. And to see some icons that I grew up like watching on TV, Jujubee, having Jimbo there, of course, was just wonderful, was just fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. So that was that part. We watched that and then we spread out. And Phil and I decided, instead of visiting a lot of the booths, we wanted to more soak up the atmosphere. So we walked around. We looked at a lot of the queens from a distance in their booths, all working so hard. We visited people we knew. So I went over and we chatted with a lot of them. Again, the queens from Drag Race España, ones that I performed with, the gorgeous Sharon, who was just always so kind, wearing this beautiful red outfit. Bless her, her feet. By the end of the day, she told me we were really hurting, I'm sure. We saw many, many drag queens from who had come dressed up like myself, walking around at the end of the day, holding their heels. I think the professionals all kept them on, of course, because of all the lovely photo shoots they were doing. Oh, I got to meet the gorgeous Juno Birch the day before, who is just my favourite drag queen. I'm afraid I didn't get to have a photo with her. I wanted to. The queues were sometimes so long. That's one thing I would say, is you have to be patient. And if you want to see someone, you might have to queue a bit. So I didn't get to see her because we just ran out of time. But I did meet her out of drag the day beforehand. And she said hello. And she was gorgeous. And I know there'll be other opportunities as well. So I think the magic of DragCon is just being in this atmosphere where people are talking to you, meeting, excited. Everyone is just like on a high, the drag queens and of course all the people there to see them. I also enjoyed with Phil, we went to the main stage and they've got constant, every 5 minutes, a different queen performing, and we watched some fabulous performances. They really celebrated all of the franchises. So there were performances from 1 minute from a queen from Drag Race France, to Belgium, to Germany, to Canada. And so we got to see lots of live performances, which was fabulous. Including, for me, the highlight on the main stage was Drag Syndrome. Now, Drag Syndrome is a group of drag queens who all have Down syndrome. And they are wonderful. I've followed them on Instagram for probably about a year now. They've really been performing in lots of different places. It's just a wonder and a delight to see them enjoying the music, looking fantastic, fabulous outfits. So there were four of Drag Syndrome performing on stage. They did a wonderful Girls Aloud mashup melody. Girls Aloud would absolutely love it. I hope they get to see them sometime. They looked fabulous. They've got great outfits that match their personalities. So mark my word, really look them up on Instagram. Follow them. Drag Syndrome, just great. And this is what's great about DragCon, that really celebrates all kinds of drag. I loved all the people that dressed up. There were so many people, queens taking photos with queens, and we went around. I have to say, I did have a little mini photo shoot in the Drag Race Brazil booth. The ladies had obviously popped to lunch, and it was this gorgeous gold, and it was empty, and my friend Phil and I were like, shall we? So we did a very quick photo shoot in there. I hope you don't mind, ladies. Thank you for making me look so good in your booth. I do owe you a favour there. Absolutely fabulous. We also went to see on the stage on the other side, because it's this massive kind of expo centre. It's absolutely huge. We went to see Bring Back My Girls, which is a whole cast of queens from series. And then they're interviewed and we find out more about what went on in the series. There are questions from members of the public. So we got to see the queens from the current season, season 4 and season 3. And was great. You got to see some of my favourites. Kate Butch, who is just so funny. We got to hear her answer some questions. Ginger Johnson, who recently won. Really fabulous. Cheddar Gorgeous, who is so intelligent, so great. She gave a great response about fans and about fans realizing that they might idolize a drag queen and they say to them, you changed my life, you made me better, you helped me. And she said, well, actually, if it wasn't a drag queen, it would have been someone else or something else that helped them. And that actually fans need to embrace that and think about the fact that, yes, they might latch onto somebody, but actually the person that's getting through that is themselves. And I thought that was really intelligent and really made a lot of sense. When you idolise someone, I know that. When I remember going through a hard time when I was at teaching college, and I used to listen to S Club 7 and Cyndi Lauper and my favourite artists, and I remember thinking, oh, they've helped me get through this. And of course their music did, but at the same time, who's the person putting that music on? Who's the person realising, oh, I need something to help me? And that's yourself, really, isn't it? So yes, I thought what Cheddar Gorgeous said there was really, really powerful and a good message for fans. It was really positive, so thanks, Cheddar. So Phil and I, we just had a great time. We saw so many things. We chatted to so many people. There were some lovely people there. There was a lady with her family, and she was telling us all about how much her son loved it. They'd travelled all the way up from Wales on a bus. Made my little bus replacement stop seem nothing compared to this. And that's special. I loved seeing mums there supporting their gay sons. I thought that was just beautiful, really powerful, great example. And that's what love is. That's really what love is, when a parent accepts who their child is and embraces that and supports them. There was a lady on the metro on the way home. Yep, I've done the DLR in drag, London buses and the underground, all of those, looking iconic. And this lady said, oh, she said, I've just been looked at you all day from a distance. She said, that coat is just gorgeous. And actually, it was funny, we had this similar silver hair. She said, I wouldn't be able to look the same as you. And I was like, of course you could. I said, you should get one, and was telling all about it. And she said, well, I've come with my daughter-in-law. She said, I found out my daughter-in-law loved Drag Race. And she said, I do too. She said, so we're not that normal mother-in-law, daughter-in-law situation, not really like each other. She said, we get on so well and drag has brought us together. And I just loved that. So thank you, DragCon. It was really, really special. Something unique. I would love to go back. I would love to be there as a professional in a booth meeting and greeting. You never know, that might happen one day. It also made me feel very powerful as a drag queen. I loved having that confidence to be out in drag. And what was funny is next to us in the XL Centre was a Comic Con convention with loads of people dressed up as Pokemon and manga characters and all sorts of Lord of the Rings and Dungeons and Dragons. And it was the same sort of thing. It had this atmosphere of people celebrating who they are and what they love in life. And why not? Let's have that freedom for people to enjoy being them and enjoying what they like and makes them happy. And I just loved that. Well, that was DragCon. I've enjoyed also looking back at all the videos of people talking and just hearing how all the drag queens had such a great time as well, meeting fans. It was, yeah, pretty special indeed. And then later that night, we got to go to the most wonderful party, Lady Olay, which is a Spanish loving party organized by Spanish people for the Spanish British community in London. And my friend Paprika has performed there before. My friend Alejandro is one of the organizers, and it was just great fun. We went along, and it was the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club, and it was this wonderful mashup, actually, of Spanish and English. The venue being so British, that kind of mashup of a pub with the carpet on the floor, with guys who really welcomed you in, with this public that was a mashup of Spanish people and English people and British people. And the music was pure, beautiful Spanish pop at some point. At one point, I thought I was back in Barcelona because there were so many people I knew, either from Barcelona visiting or Madrid. All of the Spanish drag queens had been invited. There were performances from Onyx, from Sagittaria, from Petita, from, oh my goodness, it went on and on. I can't remember everyone, but it was so, Clover Bish, it was just so entertaining. There were also the local drag queens as well who perform in that party, which is so important about celebrating local drag as well as Drag Race. I love Drag Race, but I also want to see local drag celebrated. Not everyone wants to be on Drag Race, so having those people there, Lola McQueen, who I've met before, is a wonderful queen. She was supporting Alejandro, who, I have to say, Alejandro, you did a wonderful job singing your new Lady Olay theme tune. Wonderful. So that was great. great music, great atmosphere. We had such a good time. We'll definitely go back to that next time I'm in London. So there we go. We came to an end of an epic weekend. Something that I will definitely do again. I would advise people to book up and go. If you love drag, then it's just it's a dream, isn't it? It's like a bubble. I can only imagine what the one in LA would be like. That would be absolutely insane. But yes, had a wonderful time. You can hear from my voice how enthusiastic I am about it all. So there we go, my dears, Bactra, Mrs. Doubtfire. It was a wonderful time. Go celebrate drag of all of its forms, whether it's a RuPaul drag race or a local queen or a international queen who's not on drag race. There are those as well. So thanks for listening. And remember, if anyone says that you shouldn't like something, if you're a freak or a geek or a square or whatever for liking something, you just say to them, cállate puta. Thanks for listening and see you next time.